This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else. Attention, 97.3 The Fan listeners. If you're drowsy, sluggish, or feeling fatigued, you're about to get your afternoon boost with Tony Quinn Jr.
Can't just cut that up, huh?
Chris Ello.
Why don't you give her a few bucks? Maybe she can start making your show sound a little better.
And Matt Scraby.
And I am really tired of Rob Manfred allowing John Fisher to fail up.
Don't blame us for any side effects.
You thrilled our fans throughout the postseason with a great performance.
Gwen and Chris are ready to go.
Yes, we are. Welcome back. It's the happy hour. And it's been a good show today. I'm feeling happy about it. From Peoria, Padres spring training, 2025. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby. Tony just finished up calling the ball game a little bit ago. Padres beat the Brewers today, 14-8. Michael King was named the opening day starter for the Friars. This morning that happened. Mike Schilt made the announcement. Some people were surprised, thought it'd be Dylan Cease. Michael King was quick to point out that the first person to congratulate him was Dylan Cease.
Yep.
And it's a mutual admiration society. This Padres staff is close, and we'll find out more about that. Ruben Niebla is one of our guests that we will have for you in the 5 o'clock hour. Also, we're still to hear from Jake Cronenworth on the program today as well. Tomorrow we'll have more of the same. Lots of big-name Padre interviews, and we hope you'll make sure you join us tomorrow night. The Aztecs men's basketball team kicks off its NCAA tournament run against North Carolina. Wednesday, it's the UCSD women. Thursday, it's the UCSD men. Friday, we hope it's the SDSU men with game two. And then Saturday, it'll be the SDSU women kind of finishing up round one. And so we got a game every night. I mean, it's March Madness every day. And, man, let's hope for good luck to all those teams. It's been an exciting season for all of them so far. It can only get better from here, Scraby, because everything's gravy in the tournament. You don't ever go into the tournament and say, you know, well, we're happy to be here. But at the same time, it's such an accomplishment to get there. I have a feeling like a lot of the Aztec men's fans, like their fifth straight year now, the Aztecs have been in the tournament, I think, what is it, 14 out of 16 years.
Yeah.
They've won 19 or more games, 19 years in a row. So I think people start taking this for granted. Don't ever take it for granted, because you just, you know, nobody gets in automatically.
Yeah, I mean, we were just...
North Carolina almost didn't make it this year. It's North Carolina, barely.
I was thinking about San Diego State and about how they're possibly going to miss the tournament. And I was like, man, that is a huge bummer.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I did take it for granted these last few years.
A little bit. And, you know, these kids, they work just as hard as ever. Look, they lost Reese Waters before the season ever started, and he never played a game.
Their best player?
He was supposed to be, right?
Yeah.
One of, if not the best, coming into the season. And then they lose their other best player for the last six games, Magoon Gwath.
Yep.
Maybe even seven games, really, because he got hurt in the Utah State game, which I think they would have won had he played. But despite all of that, they beat Houston. And that was the one that gets them in. It didn't hurt to beat Creighton. It didn't hurt to beat UCSD. But Houston was the one that obviously stood out to the committee. And they said as much in terms of choosing the Aztecs to get in.
Well, I'm glad that that happened, because we heard everyone say it when they beat Houston that that was going to be the game that could possibly get them into the NCAA tournament. I have a funny story. So yesterday I was driving out here, as everybody knows, and I didn't know that they had already done Selection Sunday. I thought it was starting at like 5.
All right.
And it was already over, but I saw Chris text Tony and I in our group chat, and all it did, I clicked it in my car, and it said, F Carolina. And I was like, what? What is going on? And I checked later and realized that they're playing North Carolina. And so that's why. So you were just fiery since the beginning, since the get-go, you've wanted to face North Carolina.
I am a competitor, Scraby. So we got Carolina. We got to find a way to beat them. Start another magical run. By the way, 2 years ago, when the Aztecs won it you know, got to the final game. They were the oldest team in the tournament. I don't know if anybody even remembers that. 2 years ago when they got to the final against UConn.
I don't remember that.
They were actually the oldest team in the entire tournament. This year, the Aztecs are the absolute youngest team in the entire tournament. Now, if that
should tell you something.
If that doesn't tell you that Brian Dutcher and David Velasquez and all of those guys on the bench and the trainers and the, you know, strength people and the scout teams, they had an incredible year to get where they got. And because this wasn't really supposed to happen. Not without Reese Waters.
No.
So,
and they were even questioning how fast Magoo Nguoth was going to develop this year.
Yeah.
And
he developed pretty quick.
Yeah, he was way better than they thought he was going to be.
He developed pretty quick. So congrats to the Aztecs. We don't take it for granted. Congrats also to the UC San Diego Tritons. I'm really glad we got to have Eric Olin on a couple of weeks ago. I hope we have him on again. And to that
team. Is that a hint?
Yes, our producer should work on that. To that team, in your first year of eligibility to make the tournament, that's impressive. So, you know, hats off to those guys.
And not only that, but last year they had an amazing year.
Yeah.
And to keep your team focused 2 years in a row like that is really difficult.
Impressive, and to keep them together.
Because
they all could have wanted to go somewhere else where you could, you know, get more notoriety. But Eric Olin built a group, a bunch of kids that said, it's us against them. We're going to show all them what they're missing.
Yeah.
They should have recruited us, but they didn't. So we're going to go kick their butts.
I love that mentality.
And that's what UCSD did. So a lot of people, me included, you included, but a lot of, you know, the experts think they have a real shot against Michigan in that first-round game on Thursday. And then, of course, we've talked a lot about the women's Aztecs, which I'm lucky enough to be a part of. They play Saturday against LSU. And UCSD's women, it's their first chance to make it, and they made it. So congrats to all of the March Madness in San Diego.
Are we all of a sudden a college basketball city?
Maybe this year, this week.
Yeah.
This week we are. At least this week we are. We'll see how long it holds up, Scrape.
Yeah.
Couple of other things. Scrape and I went to the SDFC match the other night. We had a great time. The fans, the atmosphere was amazing. The chanting, I think controversy is hopefully, you know, behind us. The organization did all the right things, pushed all the right buttons. The crowd was electric. And they ended up in a 1-1 draw. But there was at least three goals that I saw personally that did not count in that match. And that these referees got to get out of the way.
So you know, it was zero.
Stop going by the rules. Just if it goes in the net, we got to count that as a goal.
So it was 0-0.
This was hilarious.
Yeah, Chris, it was like 38 minutes into the first half or something. And Chris goes, he gets up and he's like, I'm going to go use the restroom. They're going to score a goal while I'm gone. And so he's gone, and obviously nothing has happened. And then as soon as he turned the corner, who are they playing? Oh, Columbus scored a goal. And then you come back, and you're like, really? And then when SDFC scored the first goal that got taken off the board, I wasn't even looking, and I was mad at myself for that. Thankfully, it got taken off the board. It didn't count.
Not thankfully. Stop taking them off the board. It's hard enough to score a goal, and I know I'm going to get all these people. But, Chris, there's offsides. Yeah, I know. I get it. I know. I'm just saying it's frustrating because it's so hard to score a goal, and then you finally score one, and then that silly guy standing over on the side with a flag up in the air. You just like want to strangle that guy.
The referee that was in the middle, the main guy,
ref, yeah.
He was in the way all the time.
They had to call
a couple stoppages because he was right there bumping into people.
Yeah. Speaking of stoppages, I don't think these soccer guys are going to ever get it.
Oh.
But it's a bad look.
What if they're actually hurt?
Okay, if you're actually hurt, then stay down. But if you're not actually hurt, get up. We don't have 10 minutes for you to sit there. And then you get up and go sprinting off. And that happens way too much.
It does.
I know it hurts. You got kicked. All right. I'll give you a second or two. Now let's get back to action.
I don't know why, but I always think of like soccer guys go down, and then you have the guys with the little what is it called? The stretcher.
The stretcher.
They're running to
roll them out of the stretcher and get them out of there.
And then as soon as you get to the sideline, they jump right up and they come right back in the game.
Good to go. That's right. So anyway, soccer is starting to take a hold here on this program for sure.
Let me ask this question. We liked it. To the soccer fans out there, the hardcore ones, the ones that keep making fun of me for trying to learn their game, which I think is rude. Is a 1-1 game really that great to you? Like, I want to know. Because we asked Brian Dunseth last week, or I asked him. I left unfulfilled when it was 0-0. How do players feel? Like, as a fan, do you leave the stadium thinking, yes?
Oh, in a draw, you mean?
Yeah.
You're not
1-1.
Saying
1-1. Or I'm talking about the number of goals and the draw.
You're talking about the fact that you walked out of the stadium. You weren't either
unfulfilled.
A winner. You weren't a winner or a loser.
Yes. Absolutely. I don't know how to feel when that happens.
I'm going to let the soccer people try to answer that because I don't have a good answer for you, frankly, on that.
Hey, Frank. Frank is calling him a soccer guy.
Yes, Frank is calling Frank on our board. Yeah. Frank, Big Frank. He's saying that he's a soccer guy.
Yes.
So he's answering, and he said he's not fulfilled.
Frank, you're not fulfilled.
I didn't say that. I said let me on.
Oh. I heard not fulfilled too. Are you okay? Tell me how you feel when you leave a stadium 1-1.
No, for that kind of game, a game like what happened on Saturday night, that was a fantastic game going back and forth. You had a couple of goals for both teams getting taken off the board for offside. That was a thrilling game from start to finish, and especially with the way SDSC turned it around in the second half. It was a completely different team. So
to see
the fight and the turnaround that this team was able to give you. Plus, you had the red card in there with a little bit of added drama. It was that, can we get that second goal to get the win? Yeah, there was a lot to be amped up about after that game.
All right.
So everybody, I need to get to the point where I'm amped up like Frank.
But ultimately, it was a tie. You still walked out of there with a tie. Although
it was
I'm
a
not
draw.
Allowed to say try. I know. You can't say tie.
They're now 2-2-0, which doesn't make me feel good. Because as a traditional sports fan, I think they've lost two games now.
Right, they're 2-0-2 in my mind.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is they have two wins and two draws. That's how I'm getting around that.
Someone is saying soccer is better in a tournament format, and I can get behind that. I mean, when you have everything on the line in tournaments, I think that's pretty fun. But I like going to the games. I've been to both of them now. Before the game, they do a really great job of entertaining the crowd. All the Padres basically came out. Manny flew everyone on a private jet.
Joe Musgrove walking out there with the ceremony first ball. Is that what I don't know if they call it the first ball, but
yes,
that's what I called it.
The first ball.
That's what I called it. Joe walked out there, and everybody was geeked up. Yeah, it's a great atmosphere. There's no arguing that. The atmosphere is second to none at those soccer matches. So it was fun. Everybody got to go to a match. And then one last thing for San Diego fans. We haven't mentioned it yet today. J.J. Spahn from San Diego State, pro golfer, had a chance to win the Players' Championship, which is a biggie.
The fifth major.
According to you, it's a biggie. But he lost in a playoff today to your guy, Rory McIlroy, beat him in a three-hole playoff.
Rory McIlroy's going to win one of the four majors this year.
You say
he's already
that
won
year.
The fifth major.
You say it every year. I mean, you're going to be right sometime. At some point, you're going to be right.
Yeah, but he's playing really well. Yeah, J.J. Spahn, though, that's impressive. I mean, that's not an easy golf course whatsoever. It just is like, I hate when they do this in golf, and I know that they had, you know, delays, and I know that it was dark, but I hate when they make you do a three-hole playoff the next morning at 9 a.m.
I can't imagine they had to sleep, you know, the whole night and, you know, the whole try to get some rest and then get up at, like, the crack of dawn and go out and play three holes to determine this tournament.
I mean, think about it. Think about it. You win that, you wake up, you win that, you're for J.J. Spahn, your life is completely changed.
Yeah.
Completely.
Yeah. He just missed it, but good for you, JJ.
His life is still changing.
Still pretty good. Still pretty good.
Diesel said about the soccer question,
right.
Said when you're behind and you come back and score to tie it up, you just cost the other team 2 points and gave yourself 1 point. Way better than an L. Fulfillment.
Fulfillment.
So there you go. That's all I needed. I need some explanation.
I know, but I want to know on the other side, if you have the lead and the other team ties you up.
He says if you're ahead and the other team ties it up, it feels like a loss.
There you go.
All right. I could go by that, Diesel.
Okay. SDFC, a month into their existence, still undefeated.
I didn't think that we were going to be saying that.
I didn't either. All right, when we come back, it's Ruben Niebla. After that, Jake Cronenworth. Padre fans, stick around. A lot more good Gwynn and Chris on the way. All right, Chrisello, Scraby, carrying you the rest of the way. Tony, of course, has been with us all day, and he'll be in with us on these last two interviews of this Monday show, our first in Peoria. Spring training will be here tomorrow as well, so make sure you join us for a bunch more interviews, and tomorrow will be the beginning of the March Madness. The Aztecs will take on North Carolina, which actually starts after our show tomorrow. Scraby, are you doing Chronicles, or are you getting that off for a couple days?
No, I'm not doing Chronicles tonight. And then tomorrow we have the Padres game on the station, so there was no Chronicles.
No Chronicles
the
next
two nights.
Sorry
to the Chronicle viewers and listeners. I know.
They miss you.
I know they're going to think that I'm lazy. It's not the case.
They missed they're going to miss their Chronicles for a couple of days. We'll be back in town Wednesday. And you know
what we haven't said today?
We'll have more merriment.
Friday. Everybody needs to come on down to Dave and Buster's in Mission Valley. We're going to be broadcasting. The station's going to be broadcasting from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. There will be a Chronicles from Dave and Buster's. I need people to show up for me because I'm going to be the only one there for
Tony,
our show.
Tony's going to be here, and
you're
I'm going to
be
in
Louisiana.
But I'm going to be with you on
you
Zoom. I'll be with
yes.
you in spirit,
yes.
but I won't be able to be there.
So I need people to show up to Dave and Buster's just to kind of make me feel like I'm not alone.
Yeah, give Scraby some support.
That would be sad.
It's Dave and Buster's in Mission Valley. It's right where the 8 and the 805 meet, and it's underneath the ramp there.
You know,
it's always a little scary to be at Dave and Buster's, I must say, because there's like 9 freeways crossing over your head.
I was going to say, like, I never knew how to get there for the longest time.
It's a weird, it's hard to get to, but it's there. You'll see it, and you get on Mission Center Road and double back. Anyway, go see Scraby, go get some food, play some games, and watch some NCAA tournament with him. He'll be there Friday from 2 to 6. And
everybody else will be there.
Actually, the Aztecs, if they're playing, if they beat North Carolina, the Aztecs will be playing at 1 o'clock on Friday. So that means you'll be on during the second half. We'll be on. But you'll be in David Buster's for the second half of that game.
I don't know. I think that's probably okay because I can't be distracted then. In studio, I'm just staring at the TV the entire time. Like, there, I don't know that I'm going to be able to, like, just stare at a TV these days.
Since
time.
I'm going to be on Zoom with you Friday from Louisiana, here's how I'm going to look on Zoom.
Yeah, you're just going to look at the TV the
I'll be watching
time.
The whole second half on TV. So, anyway, that's coming up. Good point, Friday. Make sure you join Scraby Friday at Dave and Buster's. Ben and Woods will be there in the morning. And then Braden in the midday. And let's keep it going now with our Padre interviews. Ruben Niebla. You're going to be smarter after you hear this. And from Padre Spring Training, Gwynn and Chris continuing here, and we're happy to have with us the Padre pitching coach, Ruben Niebla, who if I would have just met you maybe 25 years ago, Ruben, I might have had a career. The question is, could you have done something with a left-hander who thought he was Randy Jones but wasn't even quite to that level? I mean, I don't even think – thank goodness they didn't have radar guns when I pitched, because I think they would have just taken me off the mound before I got out there.
Well, you never know. I mean, you know.
I got guys out, though.
How hard
I did.
Was it?
I honestly, it couldn't have been much higher than 80.
Well.
Fastball.
No speeding tickets for you.
No speeding tickets. I got a lot. You know who hated me? Third baseman. Because right-handed hitters used to hit bullets down there.
It was truly the hot corner at that point.
It was truly the hot corner. All right. Anyway, Ruben Niebla doesn't have to worry about dealing with me. Thankfully, he's got major league pitchers to handle. Give me your take on your staff, your guys at this point in spring training, and kind of your main guys and some guys maybe that have caught your eye.
Yeah, it's a pretty good group right now. I'm really excited about the guys. Obviously, Michael King, Dylan Cease, Nick Pivetta are doing their thing. Yu Darvish, similar. We're all in a pretty good spot there. I think yesterday was a really feel-good day with seeing Dylan Cease going out there and punching out 8 guys.
Yeah.
And he was facing the A lineup for the Angels. So, And with that being said, it rolled right over to the guys that are in the next tier, which is Kyle Hart, Stephen Kolick, Randy Vasquez, those guys that are competing for that fifth spot in the rotation. And we saw Kyle, you know, roll out four innings, four plus, and be able to, you know, be in the strike zone, show some a variation of pitches. So pretty excited about that.
Ruben, about those guys who are competing for that fifth spot in the rotation, and much in the same way on the position player side, the guys competing for those final roster spots are putting together a pretty good competition. You kind of got the same thing going on the pitching side. Steven Kolek, a guy who was out of the bullpen last year, kind of figured his way out at the big league level, is now starting. He's been pretty impressive in his couple of starts here so far. What have you seen from him that has, him squarely in this competition for that fifth spot?
Right. It's been a pretty cool evolvement of career, what we're seeing. You know, we took this guy in the Rule 5 out of AA. He was a starter in the past. In the minor leagues, he has been a starter. So okay, we rolled the dice on that. And with a vision of him doing exactly what he's doing right now, and when he showed up at the major league level, it was a little bit of a challenge because of the level. It just, you know, there was a couple of jumps there, and but he did a pretty nice job adjusting to it because it wasn't pretty at times. There was a lot of challenges, and we were trying to figure out who he was going to be, what he was capable of doing. We changed a little bit of how he was using the arsenal, and then so the second half of the season was much better. He got himself into a pretty good position where, he was giving us some valuable outs. So coming into spring training, the plan was already set to be able to do that, put him in the starting rotation, and he's responded well to that. It's really, really encouraging.
Ruben Niebla is with us here at Padres Spring Training in Peoria. Nick Pivetta, first of all, I'm curious, do they get any of your input before they sign somebody like Nick Pivetta? Is that him? Hey, Nick. How are you? He just walked in. Yeah. I didn't know.
I thought you planned that right
no,
there.
No, I really didn't. God, that's funny. He just walked past us. But do you get in on that at all before they sign somebody like that? Or do they say, nope, here's your guy? And secondly, everything I've read, analytics, he's got the spin rate, the this, the that, you know, all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. But the career ERA is about 4-ish or so. So how do we bring that, use some of that arsenal, bring that ERA down a little bit this year?
Yeah, so there is some involvement in that, okay, especially higher profile guys.
Yeah.
With like Nick, there was conversations that were happening before the signing, Zoom calls and stuff like that, getting to know him a little bit better. You know, for AJ, he does his due diligence and makes sure he really knows the guys before they come in here. So, so that happened, and once we signed him, really happy because of everything you just mentioned as far as the potential here. And it hasn't been pretty for him in his career. Yeah, I think it's a 4.70 ERA career-wise, but, everything points in a good direction right now. Fastball ride is one of the best in baseball. Ability to spin the breaking ball. I think as he comes here, there's going to be a little bit more arsenal showing up. We're going to free him up just a little bit more, use some sliders that he didn't use maybe against lefties last year. There's going to be a possible new pitch showing up.
Okay.
He's been in the lab, it sounds like.
So, and it's just a progression. I want to make sure that Nick feels comfortable with the process, feels comfortable with him being able to, like, show us who he is first before we start making adjustments. But, I feel really good about this stuff.
Well, one of the things you hear about Nick is his intensity in terms of his demeanor. It's a little bit different than the three guys that have been here who are by their own kind of measurement are probably pretty intense guys, but his is a little, how is he kind of mixed in with the group that has already been here?
That's a great question. our culture is pretty strong within the pitching group, I think. The culture itself will help you navigate those things. And we have Michael King, Joe Musgrove, Yu Darvish, even Dylan Cease, that brings his own element to the group.
Right.
And hopefully that within that culture, people become better. And that's what we're looking for. I think we saw it a little bit in Blake Snell.
Yeah.
And so, anyways, that's what we're looking for.
The relief corps
so far this spring has not put up the kind of numbers that make fans happy, but we know that you guys are looking for something completely different spring training. Give us a progress report on how Suarez, Jason Adam, back into the guys look as far as you're concerned, mm-hmm. not looking at the runs they've given up so far.
Well, it's funny because in spring training you give up two runs in one inning.
Yeah, I know. That's true.
It's nine moves.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like it. So, I mean, it's again, it's a long season for a reason once we get there. But, no, I'm happy where they're at because what I'm looking at is making sure that the progress, we're going in an uphill manner.
Okay.
So the velocity's creeping up a little bit. Then the command starts showing up, and then the shape starts showing up. And I think – with all of those guys, we're heading in the right direction. So I feel very confident about that. I also see him pitch in the backfields, and I'm like, okay, there's stuff's there. It's just now transferring to that A game, you know. Okay. And so those guys are true professionals. They know what they need to get ready, and I feel good about it.
Do you sometimes worry, like a guy like Jason Adams, he came out and pretty much rolled through like the first four. Do you kind of want him to kind of go through some of those speed bumps a little bit to kind of, it's almost like a warning sign to kind of keep you, you know, get you back to center and make sure you're kind of rolling through it right?
Yeah, for me, it's like, yeah, I don't want to see that, right? But at the same time, there's two guys in camp right now that I'm going like, oh, my God, these guys need to have some runners on base.
Right.
Morjonen and Estrada.
Right, right.
You know, they're just rolling through their innings, and it's 9 pitches, 10 pitches, 11 pitches.
Yeah.
The other night, I was happy to actually see Yuki Matsui throw 25 pitches,
right.
And he had some traffic,
right.
And I was like, this is good, right? We're getting ready for the season. And he had some adversity. He had some runners on base and gave up a run. And that's good.
Yeah.
That stressful inning right there is going to help us in 2 weeks. So it's a little bit of a balance. Yes, you want to see these guys dominate, but at the same time, it's like you want to make sure that the bullets are in the holster.
Did you expect Robert Suarez to be able to but do as well as he did as a full-time closer? Because it seems like as much as that is stuff, that's also attitude, that's also mental preparation. Sometimes it might take a little while to learn. He seemed like he picked it up right off the bat and ran with it the whole season last year.
Yeah, it's one of those things where he built the confidence early and he just ran with it.
Yeah.
Sometimes I wonder if this guy has a heart rate.
Yeah.
You know, it's like he's just so calm, his demeanor. He just stays within himself. And somebody that's able to do that is able to process, like, not running away from hitters and not trying to invent the wheel. Right. So he's just like, this is my strength. I stay within it. And even as I'm going through adversity, this is what I do. And putting the pressure on the hitter as he does is eventually going to win more battles than not.
Lastly, for me, before we let you get out of here, some of those same guys who are competing for that fifth spot could very well transfer to the bullpen. Mm-hmm. What is that transition like when a guy has, you know, he comes in, he's trying to win a job as a starter? How do you then, I don't even know if the right word is throttled down, but how do you change it up in order to now fit into a role, whether it's long relief or middle relief, in the bullpen?
Yeah, so that guy, the fifth spot, whoever doesn't win that battle, initially your first thought is hopefully he's not one of the guys that is on our team. Because what you want to do is you want to have that depth in AAA too.
Gotcha.
So you need some guys there. So you're hoping that somebody else steps up and says, I'm this guy.
Gotcha.
Now, with our season getting started the way it's getting started and the pitchers not having built up possibly to 110 pitches yet, it might make sense for us to roll one of those guys into the bullpen to be able to take 3-4 innings at a time. Early in the season.
Gotcha.
So ideally, you're not, but if it happens, what you do is those guys would be there to protect the starter in case something blows up early, and those guys are still end up pitching, you know, 40, 50 pitches. So the buildup kind of stays in a very similar manner. So, hopefully the competition just is created in a manner that we have our defined starters and we have our defined starters in El Paso.
There he is, Ruben Niebla, the pitching. We didn't even say it. Pitching whisper this time.
We
ran through that last interview. So, Ruben, thanks so much for the time. I really enjoy it. I learned something every time we talked to you. And best of luck again this season.
Appreciate it. You're learning something every time, man.
I need
to. You got to get out a little bit more.
I set myself up for that one.
You did. Thank you, Ruben.
Note to self, don't do that again. Ruben Niebla coming with the one-liners there. And always fun to have him on the program. Gwynn and Chris wrapping things up. We got one more to go. And we saved a good one for you. Jake Cronenworth when we come back on Gwynn and Chris from Peoria. All right, welcome back, Gwynn and Chris. Got one more interview for you from Peoria today, then much more tomorrow. Make sure you tune in live right at 2 o'clock following the Braden Surprenant get-together. Jake Cronenworth in a few seconds here. Couple of quick notes. North Carolina basketball team, behind schedule, had travel issues getting to Dayton today. I don't know if that's going to keep them from playing tomorrow, but
I don't think so.
I don't either, but they did not make their media availability in Dayton. So they can use that as an excuse when the Aztecs beat them tomorrow night, Scraby.
Yes.
That's my thinking there. And also 27 schools in the nation, 27, had both their men's and women's teams make it. And two of those schools are right here in town, San Diego. So, again, congrats to the Aztecs and the Tritons, and let the madness begin.
I forgot. We have the biggest fan, Chris.
Yes, we do.
I have the name.
Oh, you saved it.
I have the name.
You saved it. Give it to me.
Congratulations to our biggest fan, Katie Schmick of San Diego. You have 10 minutes to give us a call right now at 833-288-0973, and you will have your chance to win those the tickets, 20 tickets to a suite at a Padres game. So,
give me your
Katie
name.
Katie Schmick, San Diego, 833-288-0973. Your 10 minutes begins now.
Good luck, Katie. Congrats to that. Let's get one last check of traffic. Katie Schick of traffic, a check of traffic, and then Jake Cronenworth to finish us off tonight.
Jake Cronenworth, Padres second baseman, having a good camp. Jake, how are you, my friend?
Oh, I'm doing great. Doing great here early this morning, but the weather's starting to warm up, which is nice.
It is nice. You had a lot going on. We'll get to some baseball stuff, but yeah. You had a lot going on this offseason. You got married.
I did.
How was the wedding? Wifey is out here, right? Because she works for the Chicago White Sox. I imagine, you know, you guys get home from work. You don't really want to talk about work anymore at that point. Are we trying to? You guys both do the same thing, or in the same occupation, basically.
No, we've been watching a lot of TV shows, but it's been really nice because it is so early in our marriage. But usually we don't get to see each other during spring training because my schedule is crazy, and for her to be working the same schedule and be out here, and for us to be together is pretty awesome.
Now, when the White Sox were here last week, did you guys get to ride home together?
No, she drove.
Oh, man.
She was up in the press box. Though,
I saw. That's why I was asking. All right.
What TV shows does she like to make you watch? I've been married a while, so I know I know how these things work.
The show we've been watching recently is Lioness on Paramount Plus.
Ooh, right. That's a good one.
It's good.
That's a really, really good one.
Yeah. Have you seen Paradise yet on Hulu?
We just finished that.
Like, okay.
Two or three days ago. It was really good.
Yeah, I like that one. Jake is with us. Okay. How has this whole setting changed for you in like the last 4 years? From first year when we interviewed you and we thought you were a shortstop and
slash
a pitcher.
Yeah.
To now with wear your old hat.
Man, it's crazy. It's
isn't it?
You know, I don't want to say it's a unique kind of path that I've taken, but it is, and because it's unique to me.
Right.
But no, I mean it's crazy, you know, being a 26-year-old rookie in the big leagues that was a pitcher, shortstop, and then kind of finds his way into the lineup as a pinch runner in that first game, and kind of carved a path for myself, and now we're here. And no, it's pretty crazy, honestly, when you look back at it. And it's one of those things you don't really notice until as the years go on and go on. And I'm sure when I retire at some point or when that time comes, I'm going to look back and even kind of think it's even crazier.
It goes by really fast. It does feel like it wasn't that long that he was sitting here in front of us, and we didn't really know how to even approach the interview based on...
I think we had to ask for a pronunciation of his last name.
But here we are now. I mean, you're one of the vets on this team. Speaking of, your growth.
Yeah.
You've been one of the union reps for quite some time. You moved up to executive board now. Yeah. I mean, just talk about like the responsibilities of that, because for you, this is much bigger than just going out and playing baseball.
Yeah. I was an assistant rep my first couple of years with when Craig Stammen was our rep. And, you know, he's got a million kids, so yes, I was taking the brunt of the work. So
Craig takes a shot. He's not even here.
No, I mean, you know, I think it was good, though, for me at an age where I was early in my career. And, you know, Craig had been doing it for a long time, yeah. I think since he had been in D.C. So to learn from him, and then I've known some people at the PA for a long time, and to learn from them as well, and just gain knowledge. And I wasn't a rep at the point, and though I was kind of taking everything as if I was the rep, because Craig was busy doing his thing and you know, taking over the role as the rep these last 3 years, and now on the subcommittee. No, it's been crazy, man. It's an important piece for young players,
yeah.
Not just young players, but, you know, guys who play 10, 11 years too. I mean, this is our livelihood and this is our career, and you know, whatever we can do to help us now and then obviously help the generations that come after us is very important.
Are the younger guys taking to understanding the importance of what you do and how to kind of keep passing this down?
I think over the course of time, yeah. You know, I've always been interested in it,
yeah.
You know, since even when I was in the minor leagues. And we didn't have a minor league PA at the time. But I've always been interested. But I think guys are starting to realize the importance of it. And it's hard for a really young player to come in and be like, hey, I want you to, you know, be the assistant rep because I think you're going to be here for a long time. I think this will be beneficial for you. And, you know, not for you, but for your career. You're going to understand how the process works and what you're going to go through, arbitration, free agency, pension, all these different things. And it's all important. But it's hard when you're really young because you want to focus on playing,
right.
And
yeah,
you want to focus on getting to a position that you can achieve all those things as your career goes along.
No doubt. Jake Cronenworth is with us at Padres Spring Training. Okay, the fans think they know, but they don't. So let's set them straight. Jake is struggling because he's playing first base. He's playing second base. He doesn't know what position he's going to play. Does any of this matter to you? Does it have any effect? I mean, do you have to work extra to, you know, have two positions, and can that take away from your offense? I mean, do the fans have any? Are they right at all? Just a tiny bit?
No, I mean, the one thing about our fans is they're passionate about our
yeah.
team, and they want us to win. And it's the same thing with us. We're passionate about us as a group, and we want to win. So as much as it hurts when guys don't have success or they're going through a slump or we're losing, it hurts us honestly more.
Yeah,
it does.
Sure. Yeah.
And I mean, because it's our livelihood. This is what we do. Like, you know, it pains us when we're not helping the team win. But in my case, you know, when I'm going through those times or I'm moving positions back and forth or whatever that, you know, little span may be, you know, when I show up to the field that day, like, I could feel the worst ever at the plate. I could feel horrible in the field. I could feel like, you know, making all of these mistakes. But when I show up, my goal is like, okay, I may not be at my best right now at the plate. I may not be seeing everything. But what can I do to help the team win tonight?
Yeah.
That may be beat out a double play. I may be 0 for
yeah.
4, but I beat out a double play early in the game that, you know, lets that winning run score, and we win by one run, or I make a defensive play, or, you know, I make a good read on the bases that extends the inning and gets their starter out. You know, there's a lot more things that go into it than just hits and,
yeah.
you know, strikeouts.
I know.
It's hard. It's the hardest thing I think we do is trying to convince people that you have to separate the money that guys are making to what they're doing on the field. Everybody who's making a lot of money, 99% of guys who play in this game want to do well, and they don't want to suck. They don't want to be embarrassed. There's nothing worse.
This is what he says
No matter how much money you're yeah. making, these people they care about what they're doing. So they're not thinking about the money. They're thinking about why I'm not doing well. And so it's one of the hardest things we have to convince. But on that point, I felt like some of the things you talked about last year, the team as a whole did a lot of that. And it ends up turning out that everybody has pretty decent years when everybody's focused on what you're talking about, which is, you know, if I am 0-4, what can I do to help win a game?
100%. I mean, there's one stretch specifically last year. It was one of the hardest stretches because I wasn't hitting, but it was a stretch that I was pretty, I don't want to say proud of, but I was pretty proud of because I think it was that, you know, end of August to beginning of September little stretch where I think I was only hitting like 200 over the course of like 15 games, but I had like a 415 on base percentage.
Right, you're finding other ways.
So it's like, yes, I may not be getting the hits. I may not be, you know, crushing the ball or hitting homers or whatever, but I'm somehow finding a way to get on base. And like, I think, especially where I was hitting in the lineup at that time, like, that's super important because then it rolls the lineup over, yeah. You know, fifth time going into those last three innings, and it gets the top three guys up in the ninth inning, or, you know, it gets them up in the eighth, and now it's our, you know, four, five, and six guys coming back up in the ninth, and then now it's more pressure on their bullpen to come in and them to make moves, and it may be game one of a series where,
right.
You know, their starter comes out in the fifth instead of the sixth, and now they burn four bullpen guys, and boom, now we're set up the next 2 days to really go after them.
That's what they're thinking of, everybody.
And you're thinking of all this other stuff. You're thinking of, wow, you didn't get a hit from my fantasy team. That's what they're thinking of. Let me tell you, Jake, you know this. Jake Cronenworth is with us. All right, first base to second base. First of all, when you play first base, you almost play second base because I've never seen a guy off the line further than you. But what are the differences, you know, heading into this season just mentally as you kind of get ready?
Yeah, I think, you know, me switching to second base a little bit last season was definitely good. I think the first little 30 games that I played was definitely an adjustment period because I hadn't played there in a year and a half. And, you know, when you're not playing at a spot in a year and a half and you're taking ground balls in one place and you go back to a position you've played, yes, it's familiar, but at the same time, it's getting those reps and getting the right angles and where you got to throw from and being in the right spots and then go back to first base. And then, you know, those last 55-ish games, I think I played at second. I made the right adjustments, looked at a ton of video of what I was doing in 22 and what I was doing, you know, the first stint last year, what I was doing wrong, and really propelling myself to put myself in the best position on the defensive side of the ball to make plays.
Body-wise, I know last year going to first base, you felt like you needed to, you know, add a little muscle, I don't know, put a little weight on. I imagine you've gone the opposite way for second base.
Yeah, I think it was more just I'm playing, I don't want to say a more athletic position because I like to play first as if I was playing the middle of the field.
Right, right.
But I think a big thing this offseason was like, you know, how can I get faster? How can I get more quick twitch? And, you know, I'm playing that position in the middle of the field for 162. And, you know, it's I don't want to say it's the most demanding position, but it's a position that you need to be ready to go all the time. And I love playing second because the reason I like it is, you know, whatever's happening at the plate, I know that when I go out on the defensive side of the ball, I can impact the game somehow.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's a tag play at second or turning a double play at the end of the game or, you know, having a cut and relay in the gap that throws the tying run out at the plate or, you know, I personally like that because I love playing defense. So, it's for me, I like having that separation of defense and offense. And not to say I didn't have it at first, but it's a little harder because you know, you're sitting over there and it's kind of hard to talk to the guys over there and you're kind of sitting in your own little world, which is great, but at the same time, like I'm talking the entire game to everybody on the field.
Yeah,
you know, this play could potentially happen. This is going to happen. Hey, you need to get there if that ball goes down the line. But if this happens, we need to be over in this spot. Like, you know, that's a piece I really love.
As Xander says, when you're at second base as opposed to first base, you're further away from the dugout. Isn't that what Xander said?
Yes, exactly. That's why he didn't want to
leave it. He's even shaking his head on that one.
Jake, man, it's been fun, man. Appreciate you coming on. Spend some time.
Thanks,
with
man.
As always.
Good to see you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Well, that is going to do it for a busy day. From Peoria, thank Frank Marchese back in the studio.
Big Frank!
Big Frank! Big Tony Gwynn Jr.
Big Tony!
Big Crisello!
Crisello!
And the little guy, Matt Scraby.
Matt Scraby!
Yeah. Don't forget, we do it again tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Lots more Padre interviews. Have a good rest of your evening from Peoria. So long, everyone.
Bye!